Yeah, we do. Okay.
There we go.
Okay, so we left off last time in the middle of the Maisa with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the daughter of Nakhdimon ben Gurion. And we pointed out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked her, how come you became so poor? And she said, my father didn't give enough tzedakah. And the Gemara asked Akasha, what are you talking about? There's a whole Maisa about how he used to have a particular mahalach in giving tzedakah that he would give to the aniyim. And the Gemara ends off two possible terutzim. Terutz number one is that he only did it for his own kavod. And terutz number two is that he didn't give as much as he should have. So that's the so we mentioned a couple of mahalchim based on the kasha of the obvious kasha, the marshal asks it, but you have to ask it on your own anyway, is the famous Gemara in the Seches Pesachim of Mitoch Shelo Lishma Balishma. So did anybody look up that Gemara? It says Torah Mitzvahs, right? Okay. I had heard that before, by the way. You weren't the first person to bring that up to me. Somebody said that maybe the whole din of Mitoch Shelo Lo Lishma Bo Lishma only applies to Talmud Torah, and I had heard that vort before.
I think we heard
the same person. Oh, yeah? I hate that guy. Anyway. No, so Lamaisa, the Lashna Gemara is Torah Mitzvahs, right? And Tosfos definitely... Tosfos definitely thinks that it's Torah and Mitzvahs, not just Talmud Torah. But nevertheless, so we gave a few answers. We gave a few answers to that kasha. I think I skipped the answer of the Haflah. The Haflah gives a very partial teretz. The Haflah says that there's different levels of Shelo Lishma. What does it mean, Mitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma? So along the lines of what I was saying from Rav Dessler, B'Shem Rav Chaim Volozhiner, which was, he basically says that you do the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. But Lamaisa, once you did the mitzvah, you want to get some kavod from the mitzvah that you did. Meaning, why are you giving tzedakah? Because it's the right thing to do. You're supposed to help out, the poor people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to do this mitzvah. So you're doing it l'shem mitzvah, but on the other hand, once you already accomplished it and you realize, hey, once I do this mitzvah, everyone's going to think I'm such a great guy. So then we say, for that, we say mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Whereas if you do the mitzvah solely for your own, for your own agenda, then that doesn't count as a mitzvah, and that's when we say noach lo shelo nivra. So maybe the pshat in the Gemara is that Nakhdimon ben Gurion, when he gave the tzedakah, he wasn't giving the tzedakah l'shem mitzvah and then wanting to take some kavod from it. Rather, he just gave the money in order that he should receive some kavod from the from the money. If you take a look at that haflah, it's very kedai. He has a lengthy piece at the end where he discusses pshat in a number of different mamari chazal, and specifically he quotes the famous Gemara Maseches Brachos la'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara, that a person should try to have his yetzer tov defeat his yetzer hara, and then he says and if he's not successful, so yasuk b'torah, right? And if he's not successful even then, so Yizkar Yom HaMisa. Then he should mention the Yom HaMisa. So he says, what's the pshat? So this is a very interesting idea. He says that a person, of course, will be able to defeat his Yetzer Hara by learning Torah. There's no question. Why? Because we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Says that's the source. You want to take other drugs. You want to try other methodologies for defeating the Yetzer Hara. Good luck. You're going to lose. So he says, so what's the pshat that a person needs to then go to other methods of defeating his Yetzer Hara if he's already Osik B'Torah? So the answer is no. What are all the other methods? The other methods are ways of defeating his sense of gaiva. If a person has a sense of gaiva, maybe when he's learning the Torah, so he's trying to defeat his Yetzer Hara, but through the Talmud Torah, really he's only learning the Shem Gaiva. He's really trying to defeat his Yetzer Hara, but at the end of the day, when he's learning, he feels like such a Baal Gaiva because of all the Torah that he knows. So the Torah will not have the desired effect because of the fact that he's learning completely Shelo Lishma. He's learning completely for his own Gaiva. and therefore he needs to be mazgir yom hamisa to remind himself not to be such a bel gaiva. You can't take, you know, if you want to take something with you, it's got to be your Torah, and the Torah that's learned from gaiva is not the way to go. So therefore, that's why they say dafke, he should be mazgir yom hamisa. He should read kriyishma, not in that order. He should read kriyishma first. Like, first way to defeat the gaiva is kabol so machu shamayim. Like, what are you? You're a slave of a kadosh baruch hu. So what are you being mazgoy about? You know, I came up with a partial idea last year. I said that people, they build a big house. So I said, what are you being misguided about for your big house? So I said, you can imagine the absurdity of the two avodim arguing one with the other. It says you have one eved saying, you should know, I have the biggest servants' quarters in the entire plantation area, right? You have the masters in the south. They built these servants' quarters for their slaves. And one slave says to the other slave, he says, you live in a one-bedroom slave's quarters. I live in a four-bedroom slave's quarters, and I have a family room, and I have, I have 10 plasma TVs in my slave quarters, and I have everything. You could have the nicest, most fancily decorated slave's quarters in the world. It's a slave's quarters. You sound like a fool when you brag about it. So I said, if a person views himself as an Eved Hashem, what's he being misguided? Listen, something, you need a Baruch Hashem, you have a big family, you need a bigger house, I don't know. So I'm saying, but at the end of the day, sof kol sof, it's a slave's quarters. So it says, your whole tachlis in this world is to be an Eved Hashem. So how could you be a Baal Gaiva because you have a bigger slave's quarters than a smaller slave's quarters than somebody else? It doesn't make any sense if you think about it. So Lamaisa, all these things are designed not to defeat one's Yetzer Hara, because the Torah itself can defeat one's Yetzer Hara. Right? Rather, what's the pshat? That a person has to break down his gaiva in order that the Torah can have its desired effect. Because if a person is learning mitoch gaiva, then we don't say mitoch shelo lishma balishma. Right? Obviously, that's the highest level of gaiva, where he's not trying to be, he's trying to lekanter and lehisyoer. But if he's learning on a lower level, so he has to try to break down his gaiva the most, as much as possible. Not to get off on too many tangents, only two more. One tangent, I remember Rabbi Fran spoke here a couple of years ago about Hakaras HaTov, and he wanted to say that there are all these stories about Gedolei Torah, how they were so makir tov for every little thing. And he told a bunch of them, and they were all good. But he said his vort in why Gedolei Torah are such makirei tov is because be'etzem they're such givers. And therefore, if anyone ever gives them anything, it's such a foreign experience to them, they feel like necessary to give back, 100 times over. So that's definitely an emes dikavar, but I thought another pshat. It says, how do you get to be a gadol batorah? The number one prerequisite, I don't know number one, but it's right up there, with the top prerequisites for being a gadol batorah, is to be humble. Right, we say ein mayim el Torah, that mayim flows from a high place to a low place. So too, divrei Torah ein niskayim el b'misha nasa atzmo shval ruach. Right, you have to be a shval ruach to become a talmud chacham. You have to have some level of humility. So what's the number one problem with being makir tov? Gaiva, right? Why do we hate being makir tov to certain people, and we have no problem being makir tov to others? Let's say a guy has a the number one. Who's the hardest person to be makir tov to? Poshut. Your parents, right? Why? Because it's the most embarrassing form of Hakaras HaTov, right? Your mamish have to say, like, without them, I would literally be dead, and I wouldn't have clothing, and I wouldn't have any, I wouldn't have food, I wouldn't have clothing, I wouldn't have a place to live. Like it's too much. It mamish hits at the core of a person's gaiva to be makir tov to his parents, because then he basically has to admit that he's literally a nothing without it. That's why it's really the hardest person to be makir tov, the hardest individual to be makir tov to is the Ribono Shel Olam, because you can't be makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that you have to, because then you literally have to say, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't exist. I don't have an neshama, I don't have a goof, I don't have anything, I don't have parents. Saying so, that's why it's the hardest to be makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Normally, when a person davens, I lied about it. One more tangent. I'm saying Rav Shimshon Pinkus has a mashal when it comes to tefillah, right? He says that a person who he gives a mashal to a person who davens, and like, well, I don't know, I can only speak for myself. He was right about me that when you daven, so you need like three things, right? You need like three things to be taken care of. You say, yeah, Kaddish Baruch, I pretty much have everything taken care of. It's like these are three areas of concern. So maybe if you could like jump in these three areas of concern. then you know, and then I'll be good to go, right? So he says that. So he gives a mashal. Says that there's a mother sleeping, and she has two baby boys. One is you know, 5-6 year old boy, and one is a six week old baby, right? So he says. So the six year old boy wakes up. He says, "Mommy, what? I'm thirsty." So you're thirsty. So go get a drink, right? So he says. So the kid goes to get a drink. Mommy, I'm hungry. So go have a snack. What? It's annoying already. Right, the six-year-old, like, go take care of yourself already. But the second the six-week-old baby starts to cry, the mother jumps out of bed, runs, and picks up the baby. What's the pshat? It's simple. She says, the six-year-old is already a shtickle bar hachi. He can take care of himself a little bit. So the six-month-old, you know, he can't do anything. So therefore, the mother knows that this kid can't do anything, so the mother runs to take care of the baby right away. She says the same thing with tefillah. So we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I got it pretty much taken care of, but I'm kind of hungry. So you're such hot stuff. Tistader batzmecha, take care of yourself. What if you got everything else covered? To cover this one also. What do you think? You know? So he says, Mashenkin, if you hold that your mamish are nothing, you have nothing, you without Hashem, and you just cry, you daven like a baby, you can't do anything for himself. So then it's Shaykh that a Kadosh Baruch will swoop in. Right? You say, Inlanu Melech Elohata, that's it. A Kadosh Baruch can swoop in and take care of everything. So he says, that's the attitude a person has to have when he davens, and because that's why it's so hard to be Makir Tov. So I thought the Pshat and Rabbi Fran's story was simply that the reason Gedolei Torah is such Makirei Tov is because it's such Anavim. If you're a big Anav, then mainly you're going to be a Makir Tov, because an Anav recognizes that he actually needed that favor that the other guy did for him. A Baal Gaiva says to him, I would have taken care of it on my own. It's nice that you came along and helped, and I appreciate that, don't get me wrong, but I certainly would have taken care of it on my own without you. You know? So, okay, so that's I thought maybe the shot over there. Yeah. Where's that hafla? Right on the daf. In Ksuvish. Yeah. On the daf. On the Gemara. So anyway, So just one more point. Along these lines is a very famous Gemara about Shadim. Everybody likes Shadim. So it's a very famous Gemara about Shadim in Brachis that lists off four things. Did I ever tell you this? Lists off four things about the Shadim that they do. Right? Talk about the what's the pshat with the shadim when you go to the shir and it's very crowded, the Gemara says that that's because of shadim, and then it says three more things that I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about? What's the other thing? That's the third thing. And when you get sore knees from walking, that's because of the shadim, and then the clothing of Talmid HaChachamim that wears out, that's also from shadim, and when your feet smack against the ground, I'll give you the first three. So there's Rav Kook has a fantastic pirish on the Agaritas and Brachas. So he says, what's the pshat in this Gemara here that they're listing off these weird things that are from shadim? So he says, no, the shadim represent the general kochas atumah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows to come into the world. He says that you know, we know that for every action there is an equal reaction, right? So same thing in the spiritual world, that for every koach of Tara and for every koach of Kedusha, there's also a koach atuma that sort of is the flip side of it. So he explains that the shadim represent the koachos atuma, which are there to counteract the koachos of Kedusha. So he says, what's the first pshat? You go to the shir is crowded, that's because of the shadim. So he says, you go to a shir and you complain that it's crowded? What kind of nonsense is that? So he says that you have the opportunity to learn Torah, and what are you thinking about? You think that's kind of hot in here, you know? Like he says, that would never in the real world, quote unquote, that would never fly. You would never be able to think about how hot or how cold or how crowded it was, because it would be Torah. Your neshama would be screaming out for the Torah. Just feed me some Torah. Who cares if it's cold? It's hot. Who cares if it's in the middle of the desert? Who cares where it is? So he says it's only because of the shadim. It's only because of the koach satuma that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows into the world to counteract the kochos of the kedusha of the Torah. And he says it's the same thing when a person has sore knees. He says, what do you mean sore knees? He says, that's talking about the mitzvahs maisios. He says that when a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, he would run to that mitzvah without, nothing would be able to stop me. He'd run through a brick wall. So he says, so how come a person feels sore knees? He feels lagging. He feels lazy. He doesn't want to schlep to the mitzvah. It's the same thing. It's because of the tum. It's because of the shadim that are holding him back. And the third thing is a very interesting word, and that's more nogeya to what I'm saying here, is that he says that the clothing of Talmidei Chachamim that wears out is from the Shadim. So he says, what does clothing of Talmidei Chachamim mean? He says, that means the midos, what you see on the outside. So he says, sometimes you'll find a person who's very learned in Torah, but he has bad midos, right? So how could that be? He says, that is completely shelo kederach hateva. The derech hateva, if a person would absorb one word or one concept of the Chochmas Hashem, immediately that would clean him out. Immediately he would be devoid of any negativity. How could he have any bad midos if he's learning Torah? So he says, the Torah itself serves as the greatest method to defeating one's Yetzer Hara. So he says it's only because of the Kodesh Baruch Hu allows these Shadim, he allows these Kol Chatum into the world, that you find such a crazy, ridiculous Lamala Min Hateva concept of a person who's a Torah scholar that has bad midos. He says otherwise it wouldn't have been allowed to exist. So anyway, that's still along the same lines as the Haflah, that he's saying that a person can learn Torah for the wrong reasons, and the Mela, the Torah doesn't have the desired effect. And that's the Pshat in the Gemara over there, and so too over here. If a person gives Tzedakah completely for the wrong reasons, then the tzedakah will not have the desired result. Okay. All right, let's move back a little bit to the realm of halacha. So, in terms of giving tzedakah and trying to get something out of it, so the Ramah writes in Yoredeya, in Simen Resh Mem Tes, if you gimel, he writes that a person should not be mispoir. I have it right here. One second, I'll read it inside. He writes, "Val kolpanim lo yispoir ha'adam b'tzedakah shenosein." A person should not, get pe'er from the tzedakah that he's giving. "V'im mispoir lo dayo she'eno mekabel schar elafilu ma'anishin oso alel." And this is obviously based on our Gemara, the Bir Agra. The Bir Agra is not Mitzayin Argamah. It's Mitzayin a parallel Gemara in Bava Basra on Yidim and Beis. But it's also learned from our Gemara that the person should not try to get extra glory from the tzedakah that he gave, but he should try, and if he does, then he could even be punished for that. The question becomes then, we are, I don't know who the building is named after, if the building here is named after anybody, but I don't think I've ever found a yeshiva that wasn't named after somebody, and I never heard of every Sefer Torah is donated by somebody. Every little nothing that they donate them, that you could donate like a tile on the floor in the bathroom nowadays. You could have a plaque. You could donate every little nekuda that's any shaychus to a chetzah shel mitzvah has somebody's name on it. I think there used to be a joke when I was in NYU that Columbia was a high pressure environment. So in Columbia they had a hill in the city somewhere that they called Suicide Point, that people would go off. So they said if they ever had such a thing in NYU, it would be called the Saul and Hilda Goldberg Suicide Point. Anyway, so I'm saying I said, everything's named after somebody. What's going on here? So the Ramah continues, and he writes, "Mikol makom, mishemakdish davar litzdaka muter lo sheyichtav shmo alav, sheyehelo lizikaron, Viraui lasos kain." So he says somebody who gives something to tzedakah, it's permissible for him to write his name on it in order that he should be remembered for it, and it's fitting to do this. So it's a little hard to understand what's the pshat. If the Ramah just said you're not supposed to take the credit for the tzedakah and try to become a big baal gaiva from the tzedakah you give, so what are you doing putting your name on stuff? And why is it roi lasos kain? Yeah. No, because you don't even have to know who gave it. Recently, in Rabbi Leibowitz's shul, somebody donated a whole bunch of svarim to the shul, and the guy, this guy's a meyuchadika guy, especially when it comes to midos tovos, but the right kind of midos tovos. If you talk to him, he's just a regular guy, but if you look a little bit deeper, he's mamish thinking of other people all the time, and he's really really a big baal midos in that way. So that's the best kind of baal midos, by the way. That's not necessarily so apparent, but the more you know them, the more you realize that they're such a big baal midos. So he donated a lot of Svarim, and he dafka donated it le'ilu nishmas random people in the shul who had lost parents and grandparents. He just like got a bunch of names from people in the shul and donated in their names. So I was like, I'm saying it, it's a that's you know something, and I don't think so many people know about it. So even better. But Lamaisa, it says in the Ramah that it's permissible to do so. If you look in the Taz, what does it mean? Roy Lasos Kane. So the Taz says, Nira hatam denafkemina mizeh she'oz lo yuchlu atzibor lishanos oso davar lemidi achrina. She says, well, wait, if I give money that's dafka dedicated to something, so I don't want the tzibor to then take that item and sell it and turn it into something else. I want my name on it so everybody knows this is my thing, and they're not allowed to do what they want with it. I donated the money dafka for this reason. So it's a very practical ramification as to why a person would do this. And he says so the Taz wants the Taina, that's the reason for the din in the Ramah. The problem with that is if you look in the Nekudas HaKesef, he has an Arichas where he points out the Nekudas HaKesef is the Shach, his commentary on the Taz, right? It's also Nogeya to this week's Parsha, I guess, or 2 weeks ago's Parsha. Right, they had all the Turei Zavs and then the Tekudei Kesefs and the right. So you had certain parshas. You can count up all the names of Svarim that come up in those parshas. Anyway, so the Nekudas HaKesef points it out, and other Meforshim point out that if you look in the Tshuvas HaRashba, that's not why he says it. I'm pretty sure that the Taz did not have access to a Tshuvas HaRashba. But there are also indicators that the Shach didn't have access to a Tshuvas HaRashba either. So I'm not sure how he dafka had this one and not other ones, because there's certain Shach in Yoredeya that I'm thinking of right now, where he tries to touch up the Ramah. The Ramah there is also based on a Tshuvas HaRashba, and he gives three pshatim. Happens to be he nailed it exactly why the Tshuvas HaRashba said it, but he clearly did not have access to a Tshuvas HaRashba at the time. It could be he was somewhere else when he wrote this, and he had access to it at that place. But if you look in the Tshuvas HaRashba, the Tshuvas HaRashba just says that there is a concept of a person giving money and being remembered for the mitzvah that he did, in order that it should be a zchus for him, and in addition, it should be something which everyone can look at and they can learn from his ways. And he brings some very interesting rayas. This Rashba, by the way, is in Chelik Aleph, Simin Tov Kuf Pei Aleph. So the Tshuvas HaRashba says that this is the Midas Chachamim, this is the Midas HaTorah. And he says, how do we know? So he says, look at Reuven, talks about Reuven, Vayishma Reuven, Vayatzileo Miyadam, that Reuven saved Yosef from the brothers. And it talks about, who else does he have? It talks about Boaz, how Boaz, right, and also Nanik Suvis, that Boaz, Dafka went out of his way to save Rus and save everybody. So Dafka is mefarsim all of the Maisim Tovim that Tzadikim did. And not only that, but we also have such a thing in Shas. He quotes the very famous Gemara in Bava Basra on Kuflam and Gimel and Beis, by the Maisa with Yossi ben Yoezer, right? The Tana Yossi ben Yoezer, who donated, he was Maver Nachla from his son, right? You ever hear this Gemara? He was Maver Nachla from his son. His son wasn't such a great guy. He was a great guy. He was a Tana. And his son wasn't a Tana. Right? So he was Maver Nachla from his son. And he wound up donating all the money to the Beis HaMikdash. And then one day his son was going around and he found a certain stone. And it was one of the stones that could be used for the Choshen, so he sold it to he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was worth six times the amount of money that his father had donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohanim used to say, they had a saying based on that, that Yossi ben Yoezer gave this, and his son gave six times that much. Right? So a little bit of a shtach to Yossi ben Yoezer, that he thought, ah, your son's such a bum. Look, your son ended up donating six times to the Beis HaMikdash what you did. Right? So it's also an important lesson from that, if your son isn't a Tana, you don't have to write him out of the will, saying not everybody's son turns into a Tana, but it's not, doesn't have to be everyone's goal. So anyway, he points out there that they were mefarsim the Maisa. The Kohanim used to be mefarsim the Maisa, that Yossi ben Yoezer donated and his son donated even more. So you see clearly that this has always been the Minhag Yisrael. And the Rashba, I think, writes in the Tshuva, he says, the shul that I'm in is named after somebody. He's like, so you can't say that it's a problem. He's like, we have a Masorah already that we name these things, even from the times of the Rashba, they used to name things after people. Yeah.
Is it like those rabbis tell us that something good in Daf could put your name on it. Like you could put your name on it, but like really the main point seems like people remember and like people see what you did. People see someone did this and now want to copy his actions. Like is it like necessary also to name someone that like person could still work with an action?
Yeah, but you know, there's nothing like good old fashioned competition, you know, to get the juices flowing. Like Balsam donated $1,000, you know, and that guy you know, that's his yearly salary, so I'll donate $10,000 because you know, whatever, something like that. You know, they'll say that guy gave that money. That guy's a, you know, he doesn't even make a quarter of what I make. I should really give more. You know, something like that. You know, yeah.
Just like I'm a corporate, like shoes, like you know, on like whatever, on, like I guess holidays or whatever, where they say who donates what. Like I'm saying, this is what like makes it.
What do you mean, like auctioning off aliyahs?
No. Like you know, yeah, I guess whatever. Certain time of year when you donate money, when you like a shun or something. Like,
right, the appeals. You mean appeals?
Yeah.
Yes, it's the same vart. It's the exact same thing. It's the it's very encouraging. I always thought it was very encouraging to people when they know what everybody's giving, so they feel the Shaykh has to give a little bit more. So the Rashba says that's not the only reason. He says it's also to be mazkir people from Ma'asim Tovim is a minig Yisrael. It's a minig Yisrael that dates all the way back to the Torah. Right? So he says when a person does a good deed, it's kedai to mention that he did a good deed. So that's what he wants to say. So it's really not a very compelling argument if you think about it. The second one is a much more compelling argument than the first one. In the fancy Shulchan Aruchs in the back, they reprint the whole Shulchan Aruch with some more Mefarshim on it. So in the back in Hilchas Tzedakah, they have the Rishon Letzion, which is Pirish by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim was also a big posek. So he has on the Yoredeya parts of Yoredeya, and then he has on... You know, the last part of Yoredeya is, I like to call the best of the rest. You know, like you have, after you finish Hilchos Nida, then you just have assorted halachas that get thrown into Yoredeya at the end. So Hilchos Stuck is in there. So on the best of the rest, there's the Rishon Letzion, which is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's Pirish over there. But you also have this other Pirish called Beis Hillel, which is on the side of the Gemara there. And the Beis Hillel, which is named Rav Hillel Hertz. I don't know anything about him. But the Rav Hillel Hertz writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and the fancy ones in the back. He quotes the whole Tshuva Zarajba. And he writes that, like, Lamaisa, you could pretty much be doche. I'll read it to you inside. It says, Hine yesh lidchos kol rayosov. You could be doche. All the rayos of the Rajba. Mishum de ha-Torah kosvu v'gama gedolim sha'asu mitzvos kidei she'yilmedu ha'olam mizeh. He says, well, the Torah is not just stam writing down nonsense. The Torah is trying to teach a Jew how to behave. Same thing with the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to teach a Jew how to behave. So they write down the Maisim. But that doesn't mean that you should write a book about yourself, about what a great guy you are. He says, why? Well, oh, I'm just following in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm writing what a great guy I am, just like he wrote about what a great guy Reuven was. No, he says, that's not the same thing at all. So he says, Aval hu atzmo, you know, yachol locho fesat tzibur sheyasu zos. He can't force the tzibur to write his name on something. V'yaf ein kavanoso l'shem shamayim k'dei sheyum edu mimeno. Even if his kavan is not l'shem shamayim, just so people should learn from him, that's not good enough. Mikol makom. He says, nevertheless, halacha l'maisa, yachol locho fesat tzibur lichto v'shmo v'ein ma'akvin, denucha lomar demitoch shalol l'shma balishma. Even on that, we could say mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Uliftoch lo deles lo ose mitzvah kimo halomed amanash yikra rebi. So he quotes the Tosus in Tainus, mentioned the other day that Tosus also, there's a parallel Tosus to the Tosus in Psachim in Tainus Dav Zayin. Right, he quotes Tosus in Tainus Dav Zayin, diramascha v'chol. Right, that he says that if a person learns amanash yikra rebi, he wants everybody to ask him questions. He wants to know that, and you're in the Beis Medrash, oh, that's the guy you go to. He, oh, whew. Let me tell you, you know, he knows what he's talking about. So that's the reason the guy's learning. That's also mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, right? So he says v'kosva. So he says that mikri shelo lishma v'hu adin kan. So he says that would be a mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. So he says. So he argues on the seemingly he argues on the haflah, and he says that if you're giving the tzedakah just to make yourself look good, and that's why you're writing your name on it, even on that we'll say mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, as long as you're not doing it only for that, you know. I don't know how far to take the Afloa versus how far to take the Beis Hillel, but Lamaisa, there is a fine line over there that you don't want to cross. So you always want to be together, mitok shalol lishma bol lishma. You don't want to step over that line and be completely doing it lehisyoyer, completely doing it only for your own self promotion. You know, you want to be doing it beikar, like we said from Chaim Volozhiner, you want to be doing it beikaron l'shem shamayim and whatever. Okay, so that's halacha lemaisa. One more point, halacha lemaisa, just on the Ramah, the Chasam Sofer in his Ha'aris on the Ramah points out that there's a Magen Avram in Or HaChaim. The Magen Avram in Or HaChaim is in Siman Tov Kuf Samachay. It's Sif Katan Zayin in the Magen Avram. I think it's the last Sif in the Mechaber. I don't remember what Sif it is. Probably like Sif Gimel or Sif Dalid. I'm in the Mechaber. It's the last Magen Avram. It's the last Mechaber in the Siman. And the Magen Avram is discussing, the Mechaber writes basically, that a person who fasts only lehisyoer, so he doesn't get any schar for those fasts, he's just doing the wrong thing. Right? So the Magen Avram says an interesting thing, that it's mashma from there, that if a guy asks you if you're fasting, and your intent is not lehisyoer, you're allowed to answer, yes, I am fasting. You're allowed to tell someone, derech agav, you're like mesiach lefitumo, that you're fasting, even if, you know, they didn't know about it, as long as your intention is not lehisyar, as long as you're not trying to make yourself look like a big tzaddik. You're just informationally speaking, if a guy says you want to eat lunch by my house, and you say, you know, I happen to be fasting today. That's all, okay, enough, you know, like people fast, it's okay. You know, you don't have to say it in such a haughty way. So the Magen Avram points it out. But at the end of the Magen Avram, he writes, however, there is room for Midas Chasidus, and the Midas Chasidus here would be to lie and to say that you are not fasting. As he points to the Gemara in Elam Tzias, that points out the famous three things. I'm sure you talked about it around Purim time from the famous Marsha, right? That there's three things that can be Mishana B'dibur, right? And one of them is B'Mesechta. Right, b'mesechta, so he says, just like being mishana b'mesechta. If a guy asks you if you learned a certain mesechta, because as you're allowed to say, nah, I didn't learn the mesechta. So too, if a guy asks you if you're fasting, the midas chasidus would be to lie and to tell him that you're not fasting. Right, and you know that Tosas in Kiddushin, right? Tosas in Kiddushin by Bishinatam Levanecha, where he says, what does it mean? He says, sheyu divrei Torah mechudadin b'ficha. Right, that you should be quick to answer in learning. Right, so a person asks you in learning, al tagamdim b'tomar lo. Right, as it says, emor lo chokma chosiat. Right, so you got to answer him right away, quickly, like you know it cold. So Tosas asks the kasha. What about the Gemara Bava Metzia? So Tosas answers, no. If a guy is just asking you to see how much you learned, so then you could lie. Then you could tell him, I never learned it. So if a guy's asking you to see, like, because he wants to know the answer, so then you got to answer him right away. You can't mess around, right? So that's Tosa. So it's the same thing here also. If a guy's asking you, are you fasting, because he wants to informationally, so then, you know, you should probably tell him the information. But if he's asking you just to see lehisyara, so then you shouldn't tell him. And the Midas Chasidus is to lie to him, to tell him that you're not fasting. So the Chasam Sofer writes, Hu Adinami over here. There would be such a Midas Chasidus, that a person who would donate an item to Tzedakah, there would be a Midas Chasidus to do so anonymously. So he says, just because the Ramah writes, V'chein Roy Lasos, doesn't mean that that's the way it has to be. It just means that there is a Midas, even so, there is a Midas Chasidus not to announce your name. Anyway, okay. Yeah.
So if it comes time that, let's say, you're doing a mitzvah, totally daiva or something, you stop yourself, should you still do the mitzvah? Like, should it keep you from doing the mitzvah? As in, like, let's say you're going to give tzedakah, totally the shame, your own kavod, and then you realize that you shouldn't be doing that. Should you not do the mitzvah, or should you do the mitzvah with the knowledge that you're getting kavod out of it and try to...
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a little beyond my level of expertise. You want to go? Should we continue, or you want to hold here? I can move on to a little bit of a new topic. I'm not going to finish it tonight, but you want to start it? Or you? Okay, so we'll talk a little more. There's one more ha'ara. Sorry, one more little ha'ara. There's the second Iboy Zema. The second Iboy Zema. Kedeboy le lemevid v'lo avid. So he says he could have given more. So, come on, like. Seriously, that's a huge burden to bear, no? Like, to make sure you're really giving every penny to tzedakah, you know, it's a huge burden to bear. You could always give more. I'm saying, let's say you have a guy, his mom is the biggest baal tzedakah in the whole neighborhood, and he drives an Acura. He doesn't drive a Lexus. He doesn't drive a Ferrari, right? He drives an Acura. So he pays, I don't know, $600 a month on his lease. Whatever. They're leasing the SUVs for a lot these days. Anyway, so he's paying $600. He could afford to pay $10,000 a month for his lease. He could be driving a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, whatever. But he drives an Acura. He wants to get there in style. He wants to feel good about his, you know. But so what do you tie down the guy? Let him lease, not a Toyota, let him lease a Hyundai or whatever. Let him lease a Kia. And he'll only pay $200 a month. And he'll get where he's going. He's not going to get stuck on the side of the road any more than he would in the Acura. And he'll get where he needs to get. And he should give an additional $400 to Tztaka. Right? You could always say such a thing. There's never enough that you could give. You could give more. You could say, listen, every Shabbos I have one, you know, every meal I have one thing of chicken and one thing of meat. So what do I need to eat meat every single Shabbos for? I'll just eat the chicken and I'll give the extra money to Tztaka. You could say anything like that. So it's such a huge burden to bear. It's such a huge burden to bear to know that if you don't give the exact right amount to Tztaka, then you're going to lose all your money. So the Chafetz Chaim is quoted by Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan asked this kasha, sort of. Not the way I asked it, but he asked, sort of. It's an Os Reish Chav Dalid. So Rabbi Chanan writes from the Chafetz Chaim that, no, with Dafka talking here, when did all this happen? This all happened during the Churban Bayis Sheni. Because during the Churban Bayis Sheni, this was a time of Midas Adin. This is a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really ripping into people. So he said, it's what we call in the Gemara Menachos. He's mitzayin the Gemara Menachos on Daf Tzadik Aleph on the Aleph. It's what we call a Zman Rischa, an Eden Rischa, right? It's a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angry. So he says, during an Eden Rischa, you're in big trouble no matter what, right? The Gemara there in Menachos is talking about Hilchos Tzitzis, right? It's talking about people who don't wear a Dalet Kanfus. If a person, nowadays, most of our clothing doesn't have four corners, so we wear a beged dalet kanfus to be mechayev ourselves in tzitzis. So let's say a person, dafka, doesn't want to wear the beged dalet kanfus. So that guy, the Gemara says, is not going to be punished for what he did because he's not violating any surim. But he will be punished be'idun rischa. He'll be punished when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mad about something else. He'll throw that in, right? Throw that in. It's a bad idea, by the way, to do that in real life. Kodesh Baruch Hu can do what he wants. Saying, for us, it's not a good idea to throw things in. Right? If you have a fight with somebody about something, fight about the thing. Don't throw other things in. And another thing, last week you did that. No, don't do that. That's how you get in trouble. That's how it gets personal. You want to fight about it. You want to fight about a debate. Debate it. I'm saying, but then don't get personal about things that happened last week. But Lamaisa, the Gemara Menachos says HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. If he's upset about one thing, he'll throw in all the little things that he wouldn't have punished you for on their own. But once you're in trouble anyway, he'll nail you for everything. So he nails you for not wearing tzitzis. And he nails you for not giving enough tzedakah and all that thing. But so in a chinami, a person has to make a serious cheshbon nefesh, how much tzedakah he can really afford to give, and how luxurious of a lifestyle he really needs to lead. But sof kol sof, you know, it's not something that's a punishable offense unless it's a major shas hadin. Okay, that's how the Chafetz Chaim wanted to explain it. Okay, let's do a little more in actual Gemara Ksuvis for at least 5 seconds. So if you turn to Dav Samach Zayin Amid Beis, the Gemara has a quick word here. From the Braisa of De Machsoro. De Machsoro is also a very perplexing din, right? You're getting, you gotta buy the limo for the guy who doesn't have any food, right? So he says, what would you like, sir? You know, your guy comes to the door, you know, could you please help me? I'm starving. What would you like? I need some filet mignon or I'm going to starve. You know, like, so you say, well, we're having fried fish for dinner. He's like, what do you expect me to eat that stuff? Saying, I need some filet mignon. What are you kidding me here? So the Gemara seems to say, you got to give it to him. Right? It says, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, De Machsoro, Atamitsuva Alav, Lefarnesov, I Atamitsuva Alav, Leoshro. You don't have to make him rich. But then the Pasuk continues, Asher Yechsar Lo, Afilusus Lirkov Alav, Ve Eved Loritz Lefanov. You have to give him his own entourage. You have to give him his own entourage. They have to stand in front, like when the big Rebbe is coming down the block, or the big Shiva, and they have somebody shoving people out of the way who weren't even in the way, saying, Machplatz, that's it, get out of the way. Right? So it's a bigger covet. The more people you beat up in the name of your Rebbe, then the bigger covet it is. So here, So here also, you're supposed to get him an Eved to run in front of him. So, and then Amro Olav al Hillel Hazakim, right? Shelokach la'oni ben tovim echad sus lirkov alav ve'eved la'oritz lefanov. So he did this. Pamachas lo motze eved la'oritz lefanov ve'rotz lefanov shlosha milin. So Hillel himself, the Gadol Ador, ran in front of him 3 milin. Okay, that's, the Gemara doesn't tell stories just to joke around. It's an important din. That you have to see that there is such a din of Dei Machsoro to the extent that Hillel himself ran in front of this guy 3 million. So first of all, just a couple of qualifying statements that you find in the Shittim Mekubetzes. The Shittim Mekubetzes first quotes from the Talmid of the Rabbeinu Yonah that we're dafka talking about an Ani Ben Tovim Sheroga B'Cholela. It's not talking about a guy who he saw that there was such a thing as riding around in a limo, and he saw a limo driving by, and he's like, I would love to ride in one of those. You know, so he comes to the door, he says, what do you need? Well, I need some transportation. Oh, I have a bike back there, you could have it. Right? No, I need a limo. So you ever ridden in a limo before? No, but it looks so nice. Right? You don't have to give that guy a limo, he can take the bike. You know? Because it has to be something that he's used to. If the guy, Mamish, let's say Donald Trump, he go bankrupt 3 times already? So Donald Trump comes to your door, he says, I need money, I'm bankrupt. Right? So he says, what do you do? I say, he needs a limo. So he can't go around on a bike. So he needs a limo to his cousin Chatzkel Trump. He has a from cousin. So Chatzkel Trump comes to your door and he says, "I'm right." Okay, debatable. So anyway, so he comes to your door and he says, "I need a limo." So there, you got to give him a limo because he's mamish used to it. However, what I just said is not actually true because the shita is mosif b'shem ha-ga'onim. That it's only talking about an ashir sheyard min chasov that nobody knows about it. Nobody knows that. So actually, the maisa is half true about Donald Trump. Since he always had the appearance of a business tycoon, even when he was completely bankrupt, nobody knew that he actually didn't have a penny to his name. So there, you would be mechuyif to give him all these luxuries. Masha'en kein, once an ani is already going door to door, so everybody knows he's an ani. If a guy's begging door to door. So then there's no more covet for him anymore, that he's going to lose out on all that covet because now people realize that he's poor. So therefore, it's only a guy who you know is poor. Listen, Lamaisa, Tomchei Shabbos delivers to a lot of nice houses. There were a lot of people who at one time in their lives could afford a lot of things, and then they lost their jobs or whatever, and they can't afford it anymore. So for those people, you have to help them keep up appearances if it's really such a slight to their covet. You know, they have to work on themselves that it's not such a slight to their covet. But for you, that's not your job. Your job is to make sure that they're okay. And the Kutzker Rebbe is quoted as having said from here, you see that giving someone covet is a din in staka. You see that giving a person the covet that he holds is due him is a din in staka. So even a person who's not an ani, if he holds that he needs covet and you're mechabed him, so then you just did a maisa of giving staka for him. Interesting, Har. Okay. All right, the next piece is a little bit lengthy. What do you say? We should do it or not do it? It's totally up to you.
Yeah, I guess I'm really...
What? Okay, I'll vote. Okay, I will do it. Anyway, so at least we'll start it. There's a big machlokas between the Tur and the Beis Yosef, the Nogea to this type of a halacha. What do you have when you have this case of an ani ben tovim, where do you have to give him day machsora or do you not have to give him day machsora under certain circumstances? Let me give you a little bit of background. It says Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Tes talks about a maisa with Rav Papa. Right? Rav Papa was approached by an ani. Right? Hahu anyo dehavi machzer ala psachim. The Asala came to Rav Papa. So this ani came to Rav Papa. Lo mizdakikle. Rav Papa didn't feel the need to support him. Right? Rashi writes, Afiu le parnosa. He didn't even give him enough money to survive. Forgetting about De Machsara. So Omar le Rav Sama braid Rav Yebel Rav Papa. So Rav Sama said to Rav Papa, Imar lo mizdakikle in shachrin achrina lo mizdakikle. So he says, if you don't give him, nobody else is going to give him, and Lemos is going to die. Nobody's going to give him a penny. Right? So that was his taina against him. So he says, Amar Lei, If he was going from door to door, you don't have to give him. Right? So, Amarle, ein niskokin lo lamatana meruba, avon niskokin lo lamatana muetis. You don't have to give him a ton, but you got to give him something. You can't give him nothing. So that's the Maisa Shahai over there. And Rashi over here explains the Gemara, Alpi Pashtus, that... Is it Rashi here? Yeah, Rashi says, "Emis kaken olates maos min hakupa, achareisha lomad lagzor al apsachim dayo bekach." You don't have to give him money from the communal fund. Rather, you just give him, because now he sort of has a job. He can go door to door, right? So he doesn't need to take from the communal fund. The communal fund is reserved for those who don't know how to go door to door, or too embarrassed to go door to door, or whatever. So that then you have to give them from the fund. But for the person who knows he's already going door to door, he'll make enough parnasa going door to door to take care of it. That's why you don't have to give him a ton of meruba, but you give him a ton of muetis. It's mashma from there that Rav Papa was the gabbai tzedakah for his community. Rav Papa was the gabbai tzedakah, and he was in charge of the maos hakupa, and he decided who got the tzedakah. So we take a look in Tosus over there. Tosus Dir Maskel Lo is Dakiklei, Rav Papa Gabai Haya. So he says it beferish. He was the Gabai Tzedaka. V'lo Nasan Lo Menakupa, right? And then Rav Sama said to him, if you don't give him, right? If you don't give him, then no one is going to give him, right? Why not? So he says, if you don't give Kol Shekein Shegam Achirim Lo Yitnu Lo, right? He says, if you don't give him, if they find out that you didn't give him from the communal fund. So they're going to think that the guy's a big rusher, or he's a big liar, and he doesn't really need the tzedakah, or he doesn't deserve the tzedakah, and nobody's going to give him any money. So that's the. So therefore, we see that even the owner of the kupa has to give him some tzedakah, not a lot, because he knows how to go from door to door, but he has to give him some tzedakah. So similarly, you find in the Rambam, and this Rambam is the source of the controversy. The Rambam is in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Zayin, Perek Zayin Alacha Zayin. So the Rambam is quoted. Not this is actually the Lashon of the Rambam. Where is it here? Good question. Just give me half a second. Here's the Lashon of the Rambam. Va'ani amazer al apsachim ein niskakin lo lamatana meruba avol nosan lo matana muetis. Right, so v'asur lahachzir es ha'oni sheshoal reikom, v'afilu atanosin lo grogeres achas shenemer al yashiv dach. So he quotes the pasuk. Fine, I can't show. So the Rambam is quoted as saying that if the oni is mefarnes min atzdaka, so you don't have to give him matana meruba, you give him matana muetis. Right, so the Beis Yosef wants to say that that's learning like Tosfos, that. And he's medayik from the lashon of the Rambam that it says ein nosnin lo matana meruba avon nosnin lo matana muetis. That's a lashon of plural. That's a lashon that it's talking about. You give the masses, the multitudes, should give him a matana muetis, not a matana meruba. But and then the second half of the Rambam is written in the singular that you should, even if you're just going to give him one grogeris, that's good enough. That's how the Beis Yosef wants to say. However, the Bach disagrees with the Beis Yosef, and he defends the Tur. The Tur learns not that way. The Tur wants to learn that it's discussing a case where if the guy's going door to door and he asks you for day machsoro, he asks you to give him a ton of meruba, right? So then the Yachid doesn't have to give him a ton of meruba since he knows how to go door to door. So what comes from the Beis Yosef is that according to the Rambam, if a Yachid wants to go door to door, then anybody in town is allowed to give him a matana meruba, and the Beis Yosef actually advises just put the word out for the guy that he needs a lot of money, and everybody will give it to him. But the Tur seems to be learning the way the Shita Mekubetzes learns our Gemara, that if a guy's going door to door already, then you don't have to give him a matana meruba, right? But that doesn't mean that the Kupa doesn't have to give him a matana meruba. They should give him a matana meruba. That's the Pashup shot in the Tur. So the Bach wants to say Pshat and the Rambam more like the Tur than the Beis Yosef. And he writes that the raya for the Rambam is twofold. Number one, if you look at the context of the Rambam, The Rambam's halacha of giving day machsoro is found in Perek Zayin, halacha Aleph, right? Which is, so Perek Zayin is all about giving the ani what he needs, and it's not talking about the Moos HaKupa at all. The Moos HaKupa doesn't come along till Perek Tes. And therefore, he's saying that it's Pashut that Perek Zayin is talking about what the Yachid is supposed to give the individual ani. Perek Tes is talking about what the Ravim are supposed to give the individual ani. And he's saying that the Pshat and the Gemara in Baba Basra is not that Rav Papa was the Gabbai Tzedakah. That Rav Papa basically was a regular Yachid, although he points out, based on the Gemara in Bab Metzia, Daf Samachei Amid Aleph, and Rashi over there, Dira Maschel Zuzeh, he points out that Rav Papa was a very wealthy man. So the guy came to Rav Papa as a personal collector of tzedakah. And Rav Papa said to him, I'm not giving you. So they said, what do you mean? If Rav Papa doesn't give, who's going to give? So Rav Papa, so he said, you're right. So he says, but if it doesn't, don't I have a brisa that supports me, that you don't have to give to an ani or machzor al psachim? So he says, no, you got to give something. So what he was saying to Rav Papa, what he was saying to Rav Papa was, you, the wealthiest guy in town, if you don't give him, then how are all the poorer people going to give him any tzedakah? But not that Rav Papa was the gabbai tzedakah, he was just a rich man. And therefore, it's impossible to medayik from that Gemara, according to the Rambam, that the Balei Tzedakah, the Gabbai Tzedakah, doesn't have to give Dei Machsoro to the Ani, that's an Ani Ben Tovim, and he needs a Matana Merubah. So he says, rather, the Pshat is that a Yachid doesn't have to give a Matana Merubah because he's Machsor Al HaPsachim, and you don't have to take care of every single Ani that comes to your door with a Matana Merubah. You can give him a Matana Muetis. But it's not talking about the Kupa at all. And then the Bach ends off. He says, it happens to be that I agree with the Beis Yosef, that the Kupa doesn't have to give him a Matana Merubah either. But that's not what the Rambam is saying. He says, that's a different din. That Ani Amachzor Al HaPsachim, nobody really has to give him a Matana Merubah if they don't want to. So he says, but therefore we can't be Medayik at all, according to the Rambam, that a Yachid has to give a Matana Merubah of Dei Machsoro versus the Rabbim, the Kupa, that doesn't have to give a Matana Merubah. He says, it's just the opposite. The Gemara was actually talking about a Yachid, and the Rambam is learning the Gemara that way, and he's saying that a Yachid doesn't have to give Dei Machsoro for an Ani Machsor Al HaPsachim, because the guy is assumed to be able to get his own Parnasa going door to door. Yeah.
Basically, Yosef's sheet is based on the Rambam also?
They're both based on the Rambam. How you read the Rambam?
How does Beis Yosef read
the Rambam? Beis Yosef is reading the Rambam the way Tosus reads the Rambam. Tosus reads the Gemara. He says the Rambam's learning the Gemara like Tosus learns the Gemara, right? Saying that according to the Gemara, Rav Papa was the Gabbai Tzedakah, and he didn't want to give from the Moos HaKupa to this guy, and they convinced him to give him Matana Muetis. That's the Pshat in the Braisa, right? The Braisa says Matana Muetis, so Rav Papa gave Matana Muetis. So the Rambam is paskening that the Kupa doesn't have to give him Matana Merubah. But if a Yachid is reproached by an Ani, of course he should give him a Matana Merubah if he can afford it. And if he can't even afford it, the Beis Yosef gives the Eitzah. Let everybody take care of the guy. Put out a Kol Kore or whatever, that there's a poor man who needs a lot of money, and we'll give him a lot of money. So he says, that's how the Beis Yosef wants to learn the Rambam. And the Bach says, no. The Rambam is he says, you're in the wrong perek. You want to be medayik by the plural lashon of the Rambam. That the Rambam is talking about the chiyuv of the masses? No, he's saying be medayik by which perek the Rambam puts the halacha in. It's all the chiyuv of the yachid. The chiyuv of the masses are in Perek Tes. This is in Perek Zayin. So he says it's six halachas away from the din of Dei Machsoro. He's telling you the din of Dei Machsoro doesn't apply to an Ani Machsor Al Psachim, just like the Rishonim write in our Gemara here. So the Bach wants to say he and the Tur are learning the Gemara just like the Rishonim, the quote from the Geonim in our Gemara in Ksuvis, that Dei Machsoro doesn't apply to an Ani Machzor Al HaPsachim, but for a different reason. And his second Raya is a Raya from Hillel. It's a Raya from Hillel. So he says, Hillel ran in front of this guy, right? He says, Hillel ran in front of this guy three mil? So he ran 3 mil ahead of this guy. So how could you say the guy in charge doesn't have a chiyuv to try to give this guy everything that he needs? So he says, it's not a chiyuv on the yachid, but he says, certainly the person in charge, Hillel, was very much in charge. And he says, he had a chiyuv to give the yoni everything that he needed, so therefore he couldn't find any servants to hire to run in front of him, so he ran in front of him himself. So that's how he wants to... Uh, That's how he wants to say pshat in the Rambam. Yeah. Yeah, he was learning pshat in the Brisa a certain way. You know, those dinim are understood once we understand pshat in the Brisa that it's going on those psukim. So Rav Papa held the guy, let him take care of himself. I don't know exactly what Rav Papa's cheshbon was, but he didn't hold. He held the pshat in the Brisa was, you don't have to give an ani that's maser al psachim. Right? And he said, no. When the Brisa says you don't have to give an ani that's maser al psachim, that's only a matana meruba. You have to give him a matana muetis. Okay. Anyway, there's more to say on this. So just one point, and then we'll call it a night. If you look in the Maisa de Hillel, so Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, this is in Os Reish Chavav, he asks the following kasha. He says the din of Kavod Abrius for a Talmud Chacham that we learn out from Hashabbos Aveda, right? We learn that this Kavod for the Talmud Chacham that if it's a Zakin ve'ino lefi chvodo. So he's potter from returning the Aveda, right? Let's say there's a wallet. You see a wallet in a dumpster. And in order to get the wallet out of the dumpster, you'd have to climb in. So I don't know, you and I could climb into a dumpster, grab a wallet, and climb right out. But let's say a big Talmud Chacham is walking down the street. He sees it's just not Bekovedik. He walks by, he sees one of his Talmidim walking by. Rebbe, what are you doing in the dumpster? It's not Bekovedik for the Talmud Chacham. So the Ramban, at the end of... Eilu Metzias, so he writes that that's a din in Kol Torah Kula. That's not just a din in Hashavas Aveda. And not only that, but if you want to argue that there's a din Mechila, so he quotes from the Rush in Bava Metzia also on Lamed Amid Beis, he quotes from the Rush in Lamed Amid Beis over there that a Zakin, a Talmud Chacham, has the right to be Mochel on his Kavod, but he doesn't have the right to be Mochel on his own Bizayin. So how could it be that Hillel agreed to run three parcels in front of this guy like a common slave? He says, it's got to be a bizayin to cover that Torah. So, all right, there's what to say on the lumdus over there about why you can be mochel on your kavod, but you can't be mochel on your bizayin. But anyway, not for now. But he gives a very partial deterrence. He just says that you have to say that it's either before Hillel was so famous, or I don't know if he says it that way exactly either. You could say along the lines. It's before Hillel was so famous, or it was in a place where nobody knew who Hillel was. But if you say that Hillel was Mamish Hillel at the time, he was known already as being the Gadol Ador, so then it would have been usher for him to do that. He wouldn't have been allowed to be mezalzel himself like that to run in front of the Ani. Yeah.
I mean, it says Hillel Hazak, wouldn't that? I mean, I know that is his name, but he would have, somebody got the title Hazakim later on in his life. You know?
Didn't one of you guys tell me that joke? The Rajba wasn't born named the Rajba. Did somebody tell me that joke? I don't know. Somebody had a line. He said, Eitan told me the joke he says it wasn't like that when the Rajba came down for breakfast when he was 4 years old. His mother's like, so Rajba, do you want Cheerios or something? Go, man. Shlomo. You know, Shlomo, I don't know. He was Sephardi. He said, Shlomo. Right? You know, all his buddies called him Ibn Adaris. You know, like they didn't call him. They called him by his last name. They didn't call him Rajba when he walked down the street. So Hillel Hazakin. Now we call him the Rajba. So if you tell a story of Maisa about the Rajba, so you say little Shloimelo was walking down. And they don't say like they say the Rajba when he was a kid. So you say Hillel Hazakin also when he was a kid. He wasn't yet a Zakin, saying. But when he was a kid, Hillel Hazakin ran in front of the guy 3 mil. Yeah.
If you accept the kasha, then you can go with the other terrorists.
Yeah, for sure. That's, I think, the teretz that he actually gives. I'm saying that he was in a place where nobody knew who he was. It's hard to believe. Anyway, I don't know. You feel like nowadays, you didn't have the paparazzi like you have now. That Kavod HaTorah means sticking a camera in some Talmud Chacham's face and blinding him with your flash. But still, you know. I don't know. Okay, let's hold over here for now.